Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Do you remember a moment when you were a kid when you stopped just liking songs and started actually wondering why you liked some songs and not others? I guess it doesn't actually have to be a single moment, but when I heard that Tom Jones was coming on the show today, I immediately flashed back to a moment that I haven't thought of in, well, decades. I was 9, and I had a friend down the block, also named John, who was older and wiser. He was 11. Plus, he had an older brother who was an actual teenager. So his opinion mattered. Anyway, I remember listening to a bunch of singles in his house, and he puts on Tom Jones singing Delilah.
My, my, my Delilah. Why, Delilah.
So there's the big brassy arrangement and the grand melodramatic sweep of Tom Jones's voice, but all I heard was this guy sounding like he was about to cry, and I said so. Hey, he sounds like he's gonna cry. My friend John looked down at me and said, that's because he's feeling the story. Oh, well, that shut me up. I had never considered this before. A singer feeling the song so much that he's practically crying as he sings. I didn't know what to do with this information. But it must have made a pretty deep impression because, as I say, this little scene just popped into my head when Tom Jones was booked on the show. Now, in addition to the man whose voice sent panties flying onto the world's concert stages, we also have live music from folk singer Sam Amidon, whose voice I love for all the opposite qualities. It's hushed and understated, telling some really old and dramatic tales in a way that lures you in and then softly punches you in the gut. And we have details about a fun show we'll be doing in the green space coming up, too. But right now, it is time to meet Tom Jones. His latest album in a career that spans almost 50 years is a largely acoustic, stripped-down record called Spirit in the Room, a collaboration with Kings of Leon producer Ethan Johns. It includes songs by Paul Simon, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, and a couple of originals. Tom Jones, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
So I want to ask you about the decision-making process in picking the songs for this new record, but keeping in mind the old saying about, you know, never getting a second chance to make a first impression, most people's first impressions of this record will come with this Leonard Cohen song
right.
that you chose to open called Tower of Song.
Tower of Song.
Well, my friends are gone and my hair is gray. I ache in the places where I used to play. And I'm crazy for love, but I'm not coming home. I'm just paying my rent every day in the Tower of Song.
What was the idea behind choosing that and sort of leading off with it?
First of all, I want to do I'm Your Man.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I heard the Tower of Song, I thought, well, this is it. You know, my friends are gone and my hair is gray, which is true. So it's... You can't get any, you know, more. You can't get truer than that. I think you need to be an experienced person to sing that song.
Mm-hmm. Now, when that song, you know, the first time I heard the album and that song came on, I thought, "Oh, okay, now I see what this album's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the Johnny Cash, Rick Rubin, mm-hmm. you know, late in life kind of the master returns kind of thing."
Mm.
But that's not what it is at all, and it only takes one more track for that to be made evident.
That's right.
Having said that, were those late Johnny Cash records any kind of inspiration to you?
Yeah, the way they were recorded. You know, I like Rick Rubin very much. I think he gets down to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what he did with Neil Diamond as well. I think he got the best of Neil Diamond because it's you get to know the person more. I think it's more of a personal thing that he's after,
mm-hmm.
and that's what Ethan Johns wanted from me. You know, we didn't model it on the Rick Rubin recordings, but we had the same idea to do something that that I hadn't done before. You know, not recording in this way, because a lot of the stuff that I've done in the past, you know, have been with big arrangements and like that. So this is the first time that I've gotten back to basics, you know, and because when I started off, when I was singing in Wales, I had a rhythm section, you know, and that was it. It was called a rock band in those days, you know, in the late 50s. But that's what it was. And we would do a mixture of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we do ballads and we do 50s rock and roll tunes and blues things and gospel, you know, a lot of things. So it's really getting back to basics.
So Ethan Johns not only produced the record, but plays many of the instruments on it, the keyboards, the guitars.
Yeah, at times it was just Ethan and myself.
You picked a Tom Waits song and a recent Tom Waits song as well.
Yes.
Tell me about Bad as Me.
I thought I was looking for meaningful songs from songwriters that I love. So when I heard Tom Waits' last album, this song stuck out, Bad as Me, and I thought, I wonder if I could, you know, if we could pull that off. I wonder if we could do something to it that maybe, you know, in the same vein as Tom Waits has done it. We didn't change it completely, but even make it more unusual, if you like, to the way he did it. And Ethan said he had an idea for it, and it's like a Middle Eastern flavor to it.
Yeah,
you know, and it's. I think we got it. So, but I was very interested in the lyrics because they're very they're naughty lyrics, but they, you know, they make you think. You know, you are this and you are that and you are that, and then I am this and I am that. So you're as bad as me, you know.
And a lot of his songs, and I guess you could say this about many of the songwriters that you've chosen, Paul Simon, Leonard Cohen, Bob Dylan, a lot of the songs, they're like character studies.
Yes.
So you're actually inhabiting a role.
Exactly. And that's what I like to do. If there's a song in there that I can get into and put my own thing on it, like an actor does with a role.
Right.
You know, it's... Shakespearean plays have been done many times, but there are different interpretations.
Right.
You'll get a Laurence Olivier performance different to an Anthony Hopkins performance, you know, it's, but it's still there. So I like to do that. I like to get inside the song, and when I sing it, people believe it coming from me. I mean, I believe it myself when I hear it.
Well, this is Tom Jones singing the Tom Waits song, Bad as Me. It's on his new record called Spirit in the Room.
You're the head on spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that got lost. You're the letter from Jesus on the bathroom wall. You're the murder superior in a holy bra. You're the same, you're the same, you're the same kind of bad. The same. Instead, the fish or cut bait, the detective of late. I'm the blood on the floor and the thunder and roar. The boat that won't sink, I just won't sleep awake. You're the same kind of bad as me. The same kind of bad as me. You're the same kind of bad. Same kind of bad.
Bad as me. Tom Jones singing a song written by Tom Waits and Kathleen Brennan that was on Tom Waits' last album. So you didn't wait too long. You were eager to cover this one.
Oh, yeah, because I loved the album. I loved the Tom Waits album.
Yeah.
And it was called Bad as Me, funnily enough. But I thought, well, if you're going to do it, do it.
Now, that's a big arrangement, but it's mostly you and Ethan Johns.
Yes. Yeah, when I recorded it, it was just Ethan and myself.
Yeah.
And then Ethan, you know, did to it what he wanted to.
Producer, multi-instrumentalist, and I should mention the son of Glyn Johns.
Yes.
The famed producer of everyone from the Stones to Zeppelin, et cetera, et cetera.
That's right, of Welsh descent.
Ah, okay, worth pointing out. So how do you you, as a young Welsh boy coming out of this very rich, very Celtic tradition, come to this early love, apparently, and lifelong love of American blues and early rock and roll and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was listening to the radio. And if a blues song would come on, or a gospel song, or a country song, for that matter, it sounded different. It sounded more real to me than pop songs of the day. You know, more than Broadway show, you know, Broadway tunes. And band records, you know. I mean, there was a lot of big bands because I was born in 1940. So when I was very young, you know, it was after the war. So the big band thing was still going on with a band singer, you know, and they were doing pop songs,
right?
Which was fine. I mean, that was it. But then when I'd hear an American roots, you know, I didn't know it was called that then.
No one called it that back
then. No, but it was real. And it was similar to what I heard old fellas singing, or old women for that matter, in Wales. You know, they would touch on older songs that came from, we called it music hall. It was called vaudeville, you know, in America. But they were old songs, you know, which was a... It's a strange thing, but the more you think about it, the more real it becomes. Like, I wonder who's kissing her now. You know, it's a very basic song, but right, it's like in a nutshell. I just thought of that. I hadn't thought of it before, but they were singing songs like that, you know, the people in the pubs and stuff.
Right.
You
so,
know.
So you come from like a mining village,
miners'
yes. family, and there's something of that grit.
Yeah, in... and the Depression, you know, songs from the Depression. I'm Never Gonna Cease My Wandering, which was rewritten by Lonnie Donegan and it became Never Gonna Fall in Love Again. That was originally taken from a song that was written in the Depression, you know. And Buddy, Can You Spare a Dime?
Right.
You know, those songs they were more real to me than you know, than like Broadway songs.
We're speaking with the singer Tom Jones, whose latest album is called Spirit in the Room. So as a young boy around 12, you had TB, tuberculosis.
Yes.
So you were bedridden and listened to a lot of radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the radio was my lifeline. I mean, that was, from I was 12 until I was 14. So that was 1952 to 54. And that was it, the radio. And it was, we didn't have a TV. I had a TV about the second year that I was in bed, but like for the first year, I mean, I was listening to everything that was played on the BBC, you know, from morning till night.
Yeah.
And then we had Radio Luxembourg was another one that we got. So that was about it.
And the sort of progressive, the forward-looking radio stations were the ones playing all this American stuff. And
yeah.
Somehow there was this connection from the earthy mining
yes.
tradition and this bluesy stuff.
Exactly.
Okay.
And with gospel, you know, I mean, a lot of the gospel songs were originally... hymns, you know,
right.
British hymns. So there was a connection there when I used to sing in chapel as a child. You know, we used to sing a song called The Old Rugged Cross.
Right.
You know, which has become a gospel standard now.
Well, it's sort of gone both ways, too. I mean, you know, the Brits took American rock and roll and sort of perfected it. And,
yeah.
And now are doing that with soul music as well.
Yeah, exactly. It was listening to, you know, to roots music, and then just the way that the Brits were doing it, it was coming out different, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, but and a lot of American, I must say this, when the Beatles came over and the Stones and then myself, when American kids would ask, you know, about these songs, where, and they didn't know, a lot of them, that these were originally American, you know, roots music.
Right. Ringo Starr tells the story of coming here and is like, what do you mean you don't know Robert Johnson or Skip James? How can you not know these people?
Exactly. I remember saying about Big Bill Brunsey.
Right.
And a lot of people didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of people still don't know who he was. Great Chicago bluesman, singer, songwriter. Tom Jones with us on Soundcheck. Now, you mentioned dance hall music there, in a rich tradition in Britain.
Yeah.
Which is one of the big things that Paul McCartney has always drawn on in his songwriting. Now, you and Paul have a kind of a long little dance around a couple of songs that finally comes to fruition on this new record. Tell us a little about the tale of this song.
Okay. I was in a club in London about 1969, and Paul, we were talking. So I said, could you write me a song? And he said, okay. So he wrote a song, and he sent it to my house, and it was called The Long and Winding Road. But he wanted my next single on it. You know, he said, I'll send you a song, but if I send it to you, you know, I want your next single. And I said, fine. But as it happened, I got it on the Monday, and I had another record coming out on Friday. So Decca Records, you know, they said, oh, if you, I said, I love this song, The Long and Winding Road, I got to do it. Well, then we'll have to stop, you know, we've got to stop all this thing. It's all ready to go on a Friday. We're all geared up for it, you know. If you say, so it was all on me. Nobody would back me up, you know. Everybody said, well, you know. So I said, and I missed it. So ever since then, I would be asking Paul, Paul, could you write me a song? I wrote one for you. You didn't do it, you know. So over the years, it's like that. So then finally, I found this one, you know. I Want to Come Home. And he hadn't put it out on an album. He had done it for a movie, but that was it. So Ethan said, because I was talking to Ethan about, you know, about that story, and he said, well, Paul has done this song, you know, it's not many people know it, it's in a movie, but not, you know, it's, so have a listen and see what you think. And I said yes. So we did it, and then I played it to Paul at the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. You know, we had it on an iPod. I mean, and we were singing it together then in the dressing room. So then Paul said, well, finally, you've done the song. So that's it.
The song is I Want to Come Home, Tom Jones with Ethan Johns on various instruments, and the album called Spirit in the Room.
For so long, I was out in the cold, and I taught myself to believe every story I told. It was fun hanging on to the moon, heading into the sun. But it's been too long, now I wanna come home. I came so close to the edge of defeat, but I made my way in the shade, keeping out of the heat. It was fun shooting out of the stars, looking into the sun. But it's been too long, now I wanna come home. Home, where there's nothing but sweet surrender to the memories from afar.
That is Tom Jones singing a Paul McCartney song called I Wanna Come Home. Well, you were 40 years late, but you finally got to record a Paul McCartney song.
Exactly.
It wasn't the long and winding road, but this is sort of coming home again.
Yeah, very similar sentiment.
The album's called Spirit in the Room. It's out now from Tom Jones. Let me ask you about the title. What does that refer to?
Well, when we were... I had an album out a couple of years ago called Praise and Blame.
Also done with Ethan Johns.
Exactly. And in the same studio. It's.
Oh, this is Peter Gabriel's.
Peter Gabriel's, yes. Real World.
Yeah, in right outside of Bath.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a place called Box. And my grandmother came from there. My father's mother.
From Box?
From Box.
From this tiny little town.
A little tiny town, yes. When I was growing up in Wales, my grandmother spoke with this West Country accent. So I said to my father, why does Nana speak so, you know, strange? And he said, well, because she's not from here. She's from Box. Box. So then I finally found out that there's this very small village in Wiltshire. And as it happens, you know, I was there recording. So Peter Gabriel has built this studio around a water mill.
Right.
You know, right in the center of this little village there. And so when I was doing Praise and Blame... I thought, my grandmother must have been walking around here as a kid. You know, wow. She must have, because it's so small. There's no other part of town. So I started feeling it then, you know, on the first one. And then when we did the second one there, you know, in the same place, same studio, and I said, you know, it seems to me like there's a spirit in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt something there. And that was it. I thought, well, why not spirit in the room? Because it definitely felt like that.
Yeah. So you hear echoes of that place, I guess, literally in the recording, but sort of figuratively in the way the music came out, too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I remember doing a Bob Dylan song on the Praise and Blame album, you know, What Good Am I?
Mm-hmm.
And when we did it, I said to the musicians, is it just me or is it like something is like taken over here? And they all agreed. Yeah. They said something happened. So, and we kept that spirit going for Spirit in the Room as well.
Now, that's a very difficult thing, if not an impossible thing, to do if the drummer is laying down his tracks and then the bass player is laying down his track and the guitarist is coming in and then you come in when they're all gone.
Well, this one, though, it was all live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes just Ethan and myself, and then if anything needed to be added, it was. But a lot of the tracks were done all live.
Right.
Just the rhythm section, you know.
So you really do get that spirit in the room.
Yeah.
Tom Jones with us on Soundcheck. Tom, before we started today, we invited listeners on Facebook and Twitter to send in some questions. And the first one we got was from Chris Malanfi, who's a contributor to NPR.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Jones, I trace the second phase of your career from your late 80s cover of Prince's Kiss that teamed you with Art of Noise, where you at all concerned about covering such a big hit just a couple of years after it hit the charts, and were you bothered at the time by the kitschiness of the whole enterprise, a kitschiness you seem to have embraced since then?
Hmm. When I was doing Kiss, I was doing it live on stage. I thought it was a great song to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an R&B song, and the way Prince did it, it was very sparse, you know, and so he left a lot of room for another arrangement. Because some Prince things, you know, he put such a stamp on it, you know, and the arrangement is part of it. But with Kiss, I thought, you know, we could do things here. But I was doing it live. I didn't think about recording it. And then the Art of Noise saw me do it on a TV show in England and asked would I record it with them for an album that they were putting out. So I said, sure. You know, and that was it. But then when I heard the finished thing, I thought, my God, you know, this sounds like a single. But then I thought, well, Prince has done it. It was only like 2 years, if that, since he'd had a big hit with it. But I felt it was different enough, you know, not to sort of be compared to the Prince version, the original version. And I think some people thought at the beginning, oh, Tom Jones with the Art of Noise, you know what I mean? It's a kitsch thing. But it wasn't. You know, we went in there to make a serious techno pop record.
Well, Art of Noise doing very early sampling and stuff.
Exactly.
Like that. Yeah.
You know, with me, you know, with me singing it.
Right.
And that's the idea they had, and that was it. So it really worked, and it's a great record if you listen to it. It's a very powerful record, and Prince loved it.
Yeah.
So which I didn't ask him. He told me.
Uh huh. Well, this is what we're talking about. This is Tom Jones' cover of Prince's Kiss.
You gotta not talk dirty, baby, if you wanna impress me. You can't be too flirty, mama. I know how to undress me. Let me be your fantasy, and maybe you could be mine. You just leave it all up. Think I better dance now.
The band Art of Noise with my guest, singer Tom Jones, and a version of Kiss by Prince. Tom, some years ago on this show, we have these occasional smackdowns, these debates, and we debated the original Prince version of that song versus your version.
Right.
And during the show, Amy from Centerport posted this on our website. Funny hearing the two versions played side by side. If I didn't already know, I think I would have likely guessed that the Tom Jones version was a classic original and the Prince version was an odd kind of creepy cover.
Mm. Well, it's funny you should say that because people, when my version came out, oh, and then they heard the Prince version, a few times it happened.
Mm-hmm.
They said, when we heard the Prince version, we thought, wow, that's strange, Prince doing a Tom Jones song. And I thought, that's great, that. So, I'd heard it before.
Now, one other thing that happened before we got started today was, you know, we have this folk singer, Sam Amidon, who's going to be playing here mm-hmm. later after you're gone.
Right.
His drummer, Chris Vadalaro, was talking about meeting Simon Le Bon from Duran Duran.
Yes.
And Simon Le Bon saying that you, Tom Jones, had taught him your vocal warm-up routine.
Hmm.
And Simon had adopted it and blown out his voice.
Oh.
What is your vocal warm-up routine?
Well, it all depends. It all depends how I'm feeling. But first of all, you have to make sure your chest is clear.
Uh-huh.
You know, that there's no... So, and you shouldn't cough. You know, a lot of people, to clear their throats, they cough a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a habit of that if I'm not thinking. But the best thing to do is go, like that. So
really?
It's like a cat, you know, coughing up a hairball. It's like you're getting your chest clear without actually damaging your vocal
the
cords
vocal
or
cords,
using
yeah.
your vocal cords even. You know, so maybe Simon is talking about that. But if I feel that I need to warm up, if I'm completely cold, then I'll just sing along to one of my records.
Really?
Yeah, and test it out. You know, before I go on or before I have to do something.
Hmm.
And
One of the old golden oldies?
Oh, or? Yeah. And funnily enough, Elvis Presley said before he went on stage, he would sing Delilah, my version. You know, he would sing
right.
along with it. And once he could sing it like that, he knew he was ready. So that's what I've done myself, you know, sing along with... If you've made a recording of something that you really have to dig your teeth into... Then do that one before, and that's a great warm-up.
So Delilah.
Delilah
does
about
it for
you. Yeah.
My Delilah. Why, Delilah.
We're speaking with Tom Jones. His new album is called Spirit in the Room. And one final cut from the album that I wanted to ask you about, Tom, is... Just Dropped In.
Yes.
What a great song this is.
Yep, Mickey Newbury.
Right, although people will know it, I think, from the Kenny Rogers in the first edition.
Yes, well, that was the hit. You know, that was the single hit on it. But I had recorded quite a few Mickey Newbury songs, and I'd always loved that Just Dropped In. And then Kenny Rogers did it and made a big pop record out of it, you know. So I thought, oh, well, you know, that's that for now. And I had a TV show at the time, and Kenny Rogers came on there doing that song.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, he's done a pop version of it, you know. But I felt that there was...
Don't cough. Do the hairball thing.
Quite right. I felt that... See, there's a habit. I forgot myself. But I felt that the song was more... was a deeper message.
Mm.
Because the man, you know, is... I don't know where... The character in the song, you know, is messed up.
Yeah.
You know, so everything's upside down, you know what I mean? And he just drops in to see what condition, you know, his condition's in. And I thought, wow, what a great line that is. So I tried to do the song justice as far as I was concerned to get that message across, to make it as sort of psychedelic, if you like, as possible. It's strange because I think it was the last day of recording. You know, Ethan said, we got plenty of stuff now. Unless you've got something else, you know, that... And I said, well, we haven't done a Mickey Newbury song yet. And he said, well, which one are you thinking of? I said, well, I've always fancied Just Dropped In to see what condition my condition was in. He said, okay, let's have a think and let's see if we can do something with it. And that's what we came up with.
Mm-hmm. 40 years later,
Another
one you get to do.
There you go.
Tom Jones, thanks so much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
My pleasure.
The album's called Spirit in the Room. This song is Just Dropped In.
I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag and pen. I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Tom Jones and his version of Just Dropped In, a song first made famous by Kenny Rogers in the first edition and later made famous again when it was used in the film The Big Lebowski. Coming up, we announce another great lineup for a Soundcheck Live event in the Green Space, and later, an in-studio performance from folk singer and multi-instrumentalist Sam Amidon. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Okay, let me explain. I have a perfectly good reason for playing Taylor Dayne, who had a few, and just a few, big hits in the 1980s and early 90s. One of our guests at an upcoming Soundcheck live show in the Green Space is the comedian Tig Notaro. You might have heard her on This American Life, talking about running into Taylor Dayne at a party.
I love Taylor Dayne. And not ironically. I love Taylor Dayne. So I went back into the party, and I went up to her and I said, "Excuse me, I'm sorry to bother you, but I just have to tell you, I love your voice." And she just turned and said, "Yeah, don't do that anymore." Then I looked over and this other friend of mine was doubled over laughing at me. She was like, "Yeah, you just got dissed by Taylor Dayne."
If you've heard the story, you know that Tig Notaro then runs into Taylor Dayne over and over and over again. She always tells Taylor Dayne the same thing: "I love your voice." It gets a little weird and very funny. Well, Tig Notaro will tell us another story in the Green Space on June 12th. She'll be joined by two other great guests, Jeff Richmond, who composed music for Saturday Night Live and 30 Rock. We'll talk with Jeff about working on the musical adaptation of Mean Girls, the 2004 film by his wife, Tina Fey. Also joining us, Robert Randolph, the pedal steel guitarist who has taken the so-called sacred steel out of the church and turned it into a high-energy club act.
I woke up this morning, you on my mind. Sweet Sunday morning, and I feel fine.
That's Robert Randolph and the Family Band, plus composer Jeff Richmond and comedian Tig Notaro in the Green Space, June 12th, 7 p.m., For tickets, go to thegreenspace.org. Up next, singer-songwriter Sam Amidon plays songs from his new album, Bright Sunny South. This is Soundcheck.
Dear mother, for me do not weep. For a mother's kind voice I ever will keep. You have taught me be brave from a boy to a man, and I'm going in defense of your own native land.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. You're hearing a new track by singer-songwriter Sam Amidon called Bright Sunny South. The song crawls inside the head of a Union soldier heading off to fight in the Civil War, his thoughts wandering to the family he's leaving behind. Now, if Bright Sunny South were the only song that Sam Amidon released this year, that'd be enough for me. But Sam has an entire new album called Bright Sunny South, and he's returned here to the Soundcheck studio to play some songs from it for us on the program today. This one's called I Wish, I Wish. It's Sam Amidon and the band live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
green, green grass growing over my feet. I wish my baby was born sitting grows on a sour apple tree, but still I hope a day will come that you and I shall meet as one.
That's Sam Amidon with a song called I Wish, I Wish. You'll find it on his new album, Bright Sunny South, but that's a live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. Sam singing and playing guitar with Thomas Bartlett at our piano, Shahzad Ismaili playing guitar and bass, and Chris Vadalaro behind our drum kit. Sam, great to have you back with us.
Thanks for having us.
Bright Sunny South is actually a dark and sad record for much of its length. Was that...
That's my trick. it's the title of that song, and
right.
It's sort of the same trick in the song title, too. You know, it's Bright Sunny South, but it's something that the narrator of that song has left and isn't probably going to see again.
Mm-hmm. There is, of course, a long, rich vein of these sad old folk songs that you've mined from both sides of the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Do you just find yourself drawn to the darker side as opposed to...
I mean, there are
happy folk songs, Sam.
I guess so, yeah. Although often the ones that are happy, I mean, like You Are My Sunshine, you think it's happy, and then you know, when you're 7 years old, you actually think through the lyrics, and there's always something cutting in there. So, I mean, I'm not sure whether it's that I'm drawn to them or whether that's what, you know, people who sing these have often been more drawn to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I guess by definition, folk songs, you know, they come from... the earth. They come from people who are working the earth, who are working hard, and maybe
yeah.
life is hard.
I mean, I think one element of singing some of the darker ones is that you're singing, in terms of the one, you know, coming from the 19th century or whatever, is that you're getting connected with somebody who really sang eloquently about something really on a daily, you know, death as a really, you know, mm-hmm. very, you know, close activity.
But even a song like Golden Slippers, you know, oh, them golden slippers. What's that about? It's about being dead, you know, going to heaven. And,
well, that's,
you know,
one element of it is often, yeah, they're looking forward to it, I guess.
So the album's called Bright Sunny South, and it brings you and Thomas back together. You guys have been playing together as kids. Yeah, I mean, like literally playing in the backyard.
Our routine was like 20 minutes of basketball and 20 minutes of fiddle tunes and whatever else.
Uh-huh.
Starting at age 7.
So, you know, is that kind of, is it as much about the people that you're working with as the songs that you're picking?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not somebody who, you know, thinks of arrangements beforehand or anything. It's entirely bringing, you know, getting together with these guys and seeing what happens.
Yeah. And what happened was not just a collection of old songs, but some unusual choices of covers. There's this Mariah Carey song you do called Shake It Off.
Just like the cow gone commercial, Gotta get up out of here and go somewhere. I gotta shake you off.
And the Tim McGraw song,
My Old Friend.
My old friend, I recall times we had are hanging on my wall. I wouldn't trade them for gold. They laughed and they cried me. They somehow sanctified me. They're woven in the stories I've told. Until again, my old friend.
How did those happen?
Well, I mean, a folk song is anything that sounds ancient and strange and comforting at the same time, and those songs fit the criteria.
There are musicologists who would add a few other things that make
we were driving around and listened to those two albums quite a lot. It was years ago when we discovered those records, but and they were both interior journeys. Live Like You Were Dying, the Tim McGraw record, and The Emancipation of Mimi by Mariah Carey.
All right. So you see them as a kind of modern extension of that folk tradition.
Yeah, whether
obviously
they do or
we
not.
Know who wrote them, so they're not trad's traditional songs. Yeah. But there are plenty of trad things on this record. I know at least two Irish songs called As I Roved Out.
Yeah, this one comes from Appalachia, although, you know, songs move back and forth, so...
Right.
Or at least in one direction towards America, and then got changed around once they got there. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, As I Roved Out, the Irish versions tend to be a lot more droopy and slow, and this came from a friend of mine named Bruce Green, who sings it just a cappella, who lives in North Carolina, but you can hear a little of the humor and intensity in there, the way he sings it.
So is this an example of what they call the high lonesome sound, that Appalachian
I guess so,
thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's hear a little bit of live performance from Sam Amidon and the band. The album's called Bright Sunny South. Sam Amidon switching from guitar to banjo for this song called As I Roved Out.
Trampled underfoot, will rise and bloom again, but love.
love it is a killing thing. Did you ever feel such pain?
As I roved out, Sam Amidon live on Soundcheck. His arrangement of an Appalachian folk song probably has Irish roots. Once again, we heard Thomas Bartlett at our piano, Chris Vadalaro playing the drums, Shahzad Ismaili playing the bass, and Sam playing the banjo. And you did something here in the studio. You do it on the record, too, sort of like talking back to the instrument in the middle of the song. What's that about?
I actually heard that on a field recording. He kept on saying it. What'd you say, banjo? it's a great question.
It's yeah, and then the banjo.
Valid question.
The banjo always has a comeback, too. It's got a little kind of
something to say.
So these arrangements, do they, you know, once you have, you mentioned before, you don't come in with a full-blown arrangement. It's a process of working with these guys.
Well, I often come in with a pretty set, like, part in terms of what the song has become in my version. Like, in fact, often I write the instrumental part before figuring out what song is going to go on top. But yeah, beyond that, it's a pretty bare skeleton. Mm-hmm. And at that point, a lot they make it all.
So, I mean, you know, lots of interesting touches just in that arrangement. You know, Chris with the hand percussion at the beginning and Thomas reaching in inside and dampening the strings of the piano as he played to make more percussive sounds. How much of that gets worked out in the making of the record?
I think Thomas just did that because he had an acoustic piano here and there was no Nord to, you know, electronics to shred on. Yeah.
Okay.
So that happened right there. That
nice.
Was all you. That was your spirit going for Thomas.
Bright Sunny South is the name of the record, the latest from Sam Amidon, playing for us in the Soundcheck studio today. You want to move on to Short Life?
Sure.
Once again, Sam Amidon, live on Soundcheck.
Short life of trouble, a few more days of war. A short life of trouble, a few more days, a few more days. You knew you promised. It's been some time ago. Promised you would marry me standing on the ballroom floor. A short life of trouble. A few more days, a few more. See the train coming by the station now. I'd rather be dead or in my grave than to see my darling go. A short life of trouble. Short life of trouble, a few more days, a few more days, a few more days.
Sam Amidon's arrangement of the song Short Life. You'll find it on his new album as well, called Bright Sunny South. That live performance, Shahzad Ismaili, Chris Vadalaro, Thomas Bartlett, all helping him out here in the studio. And Sam, when I first heard that song, Short Life, I thought it was kind of a, you know, short life of trouble. You know, trouble just has a short life. Oh. It'll be gone soon and better times.
I never
times
thought about that.
But it's pretty clear no, that was not the... Yeah. A Short Troubled Life is kind of the story. Where is that song from?
Well, it's a pretty classic bluegrass song, and usually it's like Short Life of Trouble, and it's one of the classic ones that has like a super happy melody, like a short life of trouble, a few more days of woe. I don't know how serious the singer is about that. I think he's like just feeling, you know,
well,
heartbroken.
Like a man of constant sorrow.
Yeah, it's a moment.
You know?
It's a moment of, you know.
I mean, if you were genuinely a man of constant sorrow, you probably wouldn't be able to sing quite as well as, you know, people who...
Yeah, enough to belt it out.
Right. So you're from Vermont, you and Thomas both, right? Originally from Vermont, which there's always been a strong folk music tradition up there, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's always been stuff going on. There's lots of fiddle music, that sort of New England fiddle style, which combined Celtic and French-Canadian stuff. But, you know, in our case, it was really like that all of our parents and their... You know, in the 70s, they all moved there to make it happen, you know, so it was that kind of folk revival thing. But
so were your parents hippies?
They were sort of hippies. Yeah, they were folkies, more like on the granola and, you know, and NPR side of things.
Okay.
So a bit less on the,
that's,
you know,
that's how we're distinguishing the folkies from the hippies,
yeah,
is
it? Yeah, yeah. Less the commune, then, you know, whatever else.
But you've been living in London lately.
Yeah, for about the last 3 years.
And, you know, there's occasional renaissances, you know, since the 60s of folk music in London.
Yeah, it's been interesting
to
be there because for us growing up, all that kind of English folk thing of like the sort of singing and guitar and the psych stuff, Thomas and I hated that growing up. It was also the sissy, like for us it was way more like the Irish tunes and the soup, you know, or the scratchy Appalachian, like one way or the other. And so, yeah, since being there that I've learned about like John Martin and, you know, more like Bert Jansch's stuff and a lot of those kind of that whole,
both
you know,
of whom are recently deceased.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of that kind of, you know, fantastic stuff that happened over time.
And obviously,
and Jerry Boys, who engineered the record, you know, who recorded the album, is somebody who was super involved in that stuff, you know, through all that time.
And he recorded your album, Bright Sunny South.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. So Sam Amidon, Vermont-born, living in London with your wife, the singer-songwriter Beth Orton. Separate sort of career trajectories, or do you guys ever get to do any projects together?
I played with her on a lot of her shows over the last year, but now that this album, you know, we're getting a little bit more coordinating in our schedules. But
All right, now you mentioned your parents, you know, that they were musicians as well.
Oh yeah, they still are, the great banjo players and singers and singing leaders and stuff like that.
And there's a song on the album called Weeping Mary, which your parents recorded on the very same label that this new record is on.
Imagine that. Yeah, they've been part of this, singing a lot of these Sacred Harp songs, shape note songs, and which is, you know, extremely wonderful and strange tradition of started in New England 200 years ago, farmers and tavern keepers writing four-part harmony without any musical training, so it's sort of wild stuff.
And so they would use shapes, triangles,
to
squares.
To help learn how to read music, yeah. And one of the classic, the sort of first album of revival singers, of people doing this in the of folkies in the 70s, was the Word of Mouth Chorus Rivers of Delight album that came out in Nonesuch in the late 70s.
I remember that
That's
album.
That album, yeah. So it was before they were married. My mom, it's still her maiden name on the album.
Are there anybody here like Mary a-weeping? Call to my Jesus and he'll draw nigh. Glory, 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 glory be to my God on high. Glory, 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 glory.
Now you, when you signed to Nonesuch, do you think now is the time? I gotta pull out one of those old Nonesuch
Well,
songs.
I've been doing some of these. I mean, I've always been, the shape note has been definitely a vein of material, but, you know, I wanted to get one on there. And Thomas and I had worked up this Weeping Mary arrangement.
All right, well, we'll hear a little bit of it. Weeping Mary, an old American shape note hymn that appears on the album Bright Sunny South. But before we hear it, Sam Amidon, to you and the band, thank you so much for coming in. Great to see you again.
Thank you.
Are there anybody here like Mary a weeping? Call to my Jesus and he'll draw nigh. Are there anybody here like Mary a weeping?
That's Sam Amidon's version of a shape note hymn called Weeping Mary. And that's going to do it for Soundcheck today, but tomorrow on the show you'll have a chance to hear another modern arrangement of an old shape note tune when Van Dyke Parks joins us. The composer and arranger, producer, and lyricist has worked with the Beach Boys, Bonnie Raitt, even Skrillex. He's releasing his first album of new material in over 20 years called Songs Cycled. And does your baby need a soundtrack? Pear Music, a new music startup, will compose a theme for your child for a tidy sum. We'll talk with the co-founders. Plus, classical guitarist Ben Verdery performs Prince and Randy Newman live in our studio. Soundcheck wants you to join us in the green space on May 29th. It's the actual 100th anniversary of Igor Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, and pianist Vicky Chow of the Bang on a Can All-Stars will play the piece in a solo piano version on May 29th at 7 p.m. For tickets, go to thegreenspace.org. That does it for tonight's show. See you back here at 9 tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you online at soundcheck.org. And follow us on Facebook or Twitter. I'm John Schaefer.